Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
You are now listening to Meridian Arts.
The story you're about to hear is true. It takes place in the wild world of rap and contains mature content that may not be appropriate for all audiences. Like N.W.A. said,
parental discretion is advised.
What's your name and where you from?
My name is Blimes. I'm from San Francisco, California.
Have you ever done a show in San Diego, California?
Yeah, I have.
Can you tell me anything about it?
Yeah, I opened up for Atmosphere with my partner in rhyme, Gifted Gab, and I believe we played in an old movie theater turned into a venue, and the crowd participation, energy, vibes were amazing. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible night. So much good energy in the room.
Peace, Shaw. My name is Parker Edison. I'm an artist and I'm fascinated by the impact of rap writers. Hip-hop's 50th anniversary yielded a ton of articles and interviews on the subject. Being the black rap nerd that I am, I started to notice certain cities have something about their contribution that makes them unique. San Diego is one of those cities for a couple of reasons. I played my share of shows all over the country, and many a night has been spent in a van, taxi, or green room with my crew in a shouting match about where SD sits in the wide world of rap and why. I tapped in with some of those close friends and we put together this series to break it all down for you. I'm gonna map the whole thing out, but here's the deal. This isn't the history of hip hop. This isn't a complete timeline, but it is what happened. Some details will be left out. When we talk about that time Wu-Tang's ODB interrupted the Grammys, we're not gonna name every musician in the crowd that night. We'll talk about who was on stage, maybe who came on after. Keep that in mind while you're listening. This is about San Diego rap and the incredible way it got where it is today. You ready? Let go. This is the San Diego story.
This season on Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm going to classes, workshops, and private venues designed to enrich and broaden our sexual horizons. And I'm taking you with me. I meet with an erotic mindfulness coach, get a pelvic floor exam, talk with new moms, and even put on my dancing shoes and take a beginning burlesque class, and much more. Find season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly wherever you get your podcasts and come join me in my search for fun and sexy adventures that are available to you.
I'm listing album releases specifically to illustrate the evolution of our rap scene. As the scene expands, we get more sections, similar to what we see in New York boroughs. Southeast has hustlers like Brooklyn. Our beach spots get money like Manhattan. South Bay can be gritty like the Bronx. I have a theory that North County is our Staten Island. The northernmost part of San Diego, North County includes Carlsbad, Del Mar, Encinitas, Oceanside, Solana Beach, Vista, Escondido, Poway, and San Marcos. It served as a backdrop for some popular TV shows, such as Veronica Mars or Netflix American Vandal. Also, the Showtime show Weeds was based in a fictional North County suburb. The region's picturesque landscape is dotted with pockets of innovators who played a significant role in shaping San Diego's rap scene since its inception.
Before Microphone Enhancer and after the Gangsta Earn record, I did a demo for a kid, Al C, DJ Cat, that I know really well. I charged him like $400 to do a demo and he went and got a record deal with the demo. So the rapper in their group was called Mystery. And I did the production on this song called Rolling with the Funk. To be honest, man, that was probably the most commercial record I'd done. If you haven't heard it, you gotta listen to it.
You know what I think? Did that used to play like on BET Rap City? And I remember that.
All of it. It was on everything, yeah.
Bone TV Raps, the whole nine, right?
Back in episode 5, DJ Al C told us about rapper Mystery and his hit track, Rolling with the Funk.
Why don't you bring in the funk? It's the rough to win it up rock and beat. Cause I'ma make another hit for the street. And I'm driving all the fly girls nuts. So let that be the reason that I'm cheering up in that girl.
Our next guest, Frank Z, did the beat. He's an OG. And in this clip, he's giving writer Jay Smith insight on where he's from.
If you ask people from San Diego, La Mesa, Hillcrest, Spring Valley, where are you from? I'm from Dago. But if you ask someone from Oceanside where they're from, we're from Oceanside. But it was all love, though. The hip-hop culture was all love. except for the gang related stuff. That is and always is what it'll be.
Right.
But the hip hop culture itself wasn't really tied into that, you know? Every jam that you throw, there's gonna be some problems, you know, that's related to people. The music helped me transcend all that.
I got familiar with your name in the 90s, you know what I mean? Chop Shop. Can you give me some insight how Chop Shop came about and what the focus was with that?
So Chop Shop came at the very end of my time in music. There was three DJs. Mos Def's DJ, also from Brooklyn, was Troy Ski. I was the DJ for MCT's and Drew and Ja Love. And then Just Unique was the DJ for a kid named The Blade, Kevin The Blade Gordon. I got to a point where I had this catalog of beats and they just never got on a record. And Kev approached me about, look, I got some beats too. Let's put them together and put this Chop Shop out. And I just donated beats and worked on a few beats with them, right? And we put this mishmash of unused beats together, and that was the Chop Shop record. And then a couple followed. What happened was, one of the projects I worked on, there was some cats, ICB and D-Mac, that had this gangster rapper that that they wanted me to make a beat for. So Gil made one of them, and I made the other one for Gangsta Earn. If you came to my mom's pad in South O, where I had my studio, all these cats have tagged up the whole door frame. And to this day, it's still preserved there. They're all up there. Icy Lee, Mos Def, King D, who's still one of my boys to this day. Gangsta Earn, they're all up there, man. They've all been right here in Oceanside. Wow. And I did this record for him called Up Against It, which I don't know, I guess it's kind of an anthem. I mean, I spent so much time at Paramount Studio in LA, and Studio One was Jinx or Pooh or whatever, and I'm in Studio Two or vice versa. It was like a daily operation, right? I'm talking to Hank Shockley about sonic space, right? And how he likes to fill it. And I always like, man, I'm gonna make a record like that one day. I really love that PE stuff, man. I just like it. I really enjoyed it. So Up Against It was my outlet to do that. And I flipped that Curtis Mayfield. I mean, I think I flipped it, man, actually. So
the history that's out there and the places some of you cats have been and the people you guys have collaborated with, man, I had no idea. You were with Hank Shockley and taking inspiration from him and Dre, and it's incredible, man.
The thing that I never talk about that I wanted to bring up is being Mexican in that time and trying to bang out beats. It was interesting, man.
How so?
I just wasn't accepted as readily by the institution, not by the cats. Everyone was cool with me.
Right.
But
right.
The institution didn't have room for that in their mind.
I got you.
I mean, I'm spinning at 5'9" day for the Brims, right? And I am not a gangster, right?
Gotcha.
But that music was my passport to those, to the real people. I was real enough.
Right.
But in the record company, it was a problem. And we don't have enough time to talk about it, but I wanted that to get documented.
Gotcha, I got it.
Because in this day and age, man, hip hop has transcended all that.
Can I ask you about, so Microphone Enhancer drops, man. I mean, for all, you know, by all measures, man, that's just a classic record, classic song, classic San Diego track. What's the story behind that
one? Well, check this out.
Throughout Frank's interview, you hear how he's right there in the mix of things, underground and mainstream, signed and unsigned. He mentioned LPSD, Lyrical Poets, Strictly Dope. The group's hit single, Back At You, is widely revered and still in rotation. Another hit they're connected to is 1995's Microphone Enhancer, a song by rapper Mos Def. That's D-E-S-H, Mos Def. He featured LPSD. At the end of Frank Z's interview, we learned that he didn't produce that backpack classic, but we happen to have an interview with the man who did.
Who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
Blade Gordon. Chop Shop Records actually started that back in 94, 95. Previous to that, I was with the Damn Posse as a group that was formed in San Diego.
So it's like the mid-90s. I remember like one of the first songs I heard. You know, I remember Microphone Enhancer, man. Did you have a hand in that?
Yeah, we put that out. There was these guys that formed a label in LA called Angel Tracks.
Okay.
So basically they signed me to a production deal and made me A&R. That's when I brought in, we had LPSD and we had a female J Silk, Juliana, on that track.
You remember like the inspiration, how it came to you at that time?
They just come, brother. Bro, they just come, man. I start digging, finding stuff.
Did it lead to any other opportunities after that?
I remember it was in the back of the Source. It did make that. And actually, there's a portion in the Source at that time, what were the hottest beats? That Microphone Enhancer beat was the second best beat. The number one beat was Tribe by 12. You remember that?
Yes, sir. Dun, dun, yep. Dun, 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 dun.
That's the one.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Both Back At You and Microphone Enhancer are still getting spins around the country. Quick shout out to Stephen Flex, a member of LPSD and an integral part of this season's writing team. We're going to talk more about North County right after this quick break, but could a fella please get a piece of that Microphone Enhancer?
You're dumb if you think you're burning me this summer, and thinking you can freeze me in the winter makes you dumber. They don't call me Dutch for nothing. It's a fact I'll be destroying MCs single-handedly every time I rap. When I attack, feeble minds is terror. If I ever stop rapping, that's it, end of forever. But until then, I'm the executioner. Like the gang said, whack MCs must die. We have no use for you, so go for your gun, because your mic don't work. But if you shoot and miss, you better tie your boots and put them.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered. Only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome back. You hear me say it in the credits, but this episode features beats by Phenom producer Sojourn, who is also a prominent figure in a subgenre with a rich history, gospel rap. And he's not alone. In 2015, Oceanside's John Gibbs' Soul Rebel album garnered him interest from major labels, leading to an offer from Interscope Records. He's a staple in Christian hip-hop, having collaborated with some of its most notable personalities, including Ruslan, Belief, and Lecrae.
We was in the backseat, bumping Jagged Edge just when you asked me. If I had a rap for this, I gladly pulled it out my pocket. My conscience telling me to stop it, God is watching us. But I can't fight the feeling, baby, I just wanna, we proceed to program ourselves accordingly. Souls tied to each other so disorderly.
Perhaps North County should be recognized for its distinctive quiet success, a trait I noticed in another artist we recently interviewed.
There is actually a big Christian rap scene down here, and I'm personally not part of that, but the scene I know is very strong down here in terms of that. There is a big movement down here for sure.
What's your name and what do you do in hip hop?
My name is Blame One. What I'm mainly known for doing in hip hop is MCing. I also consider myself a strong graffiti writer. And pretty much I study every element of the culture and participate in every element, but definitely MCing is what I'm known for.
Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in Oceanside, California, my home base, and I wouldn't be anywhere else, 100.
What was the local rap scene like in North County when you got into it?
So when I first moved out here, the majority of people didn't really know a lot about rap other than the mainstream rap acts, which would be like Run DMC, the Beastie Boys, maybe like Houdini, LL Cool J, you know what I mean? The public didn't know much about it. However, there was a place called the Armory in Vista, not to be confused with Armory Hip Hop Shop in SD, Big Up Cross and King D and all my folks out there, you know what I'm saying? But I'm talking about an actual armory, like a military armory. And they would throw hip hop functions there. And then from there, I would say about 88 to 89, I started going to the Distillery East. And the Distillery East is where I really found like, oh wow, like there's a strong hip hop scene. I first saw the flyers at school. It was an all ages event. So I used to ask my mom, like, can you take me over here? And So essentially what I'm saying is that the hip hop scene was actually flourishing, like in terms of people that knew what was up. It was dope.
So there seems like there's a connection between San Diego and North County from what you're talking about. But absolutely, is there a separation?
I think that there was, there still is, but I think there especially was a separation between the two. I'll give you an example. So San Diego has always kind of looked at North County as like, those fools aren't Dago. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it, because even in North County, like for somebody like myself, so for instance, people will say like, I'm in Oceanside right now, and they're actually in Carlsbad. And Carlsbad and Oceanside are like two completely different cities. It's like being in freaking Compton and Santa Monica, two very different cities, even though they're right next to each other. And then if you look at somewhere from Carlsbad all the way, I would say to La Jolla, to me is like its own world. Basically, I think San Diego was looking at us as that zone of like that Carlsbad to La Jolla, like these fools are like spoiled or whatever. And I felt like I played a big part in terms of bringing an understanding of that to San Diego, because once I started rocking a lot of shows out there, you know, I had like Cutfather and King D and all these cats like, oh man, what's up with North County? And I would just jewel them on like, you know, we got our hoods down here too. It's just that people aren't exposed to that, you know, unless you're from the area.
Tell me about the rap that comes out of North County. Is it gangster? Is it backpacked?
I think it's all of the above, but I would say, especially at this particular moment in time, well, really like throughout time, the most, what should I say? And nowadays it's a whole different ballgame. So the most known rappers right now, I would say coming out of Oceanside would be Desi Hollow and probably Bishop Snow. They're legitimate dudes. Like, they're not out here faking the funk. So it would be easy to say like, oh, you know, it is kind of gangster, but not at the same time. The majority of the scene is not that, mm-hmm. but that's kind of the most popular, you know, artists, I would say, to the public as like, oh, it's gangster. But I would say the majority of it is more like underground hip hop, backpack oriented, you know, versus the other side of things. But, you know, I guess it could be perceived either way.
What's Dirty Science?
Dirty Science is basically Exile's baby. That's definitely his vision. And I would define it really as just basically handpicked talent of the highest caliber as far as that I see, MCs and producers. Exile has a way of bringing out what other people can't see in yourself and others. And so basically that's his baby, and he handpicks, you know, all the talent in that talent pool, you know?
Which you're one of, yeah?
Which I am one of, yes. Yeah. I'm like the old outdated version. but yes, I am part of that talent pool for sure.
Tell me about the difference in putting out music from, let's say, 2005 to 2015.
The biggest difference would be like from 2015 is when the streaming started to take over. In 2005, you were more prone to listen to an album still from front to end. You know, it might grow on you as you ride in your car over time. Now we're all guilty of a certain thing, and this definitely happened by the time 2015 hit place, was we started just picking our favorite songs off of instant reaction. So it was like, okay, we're skipping through this album and oh, this one instantly stuck out to me. This one stuck out to me. I'm gonna save it to a playlist. And then you just get stuck on those songs, whereas you didn't give those other joints any replay value and give them a chance to actually kind of soak in and become songs that you eventually like.
What part of your time in hip hop are you proudest of?
probably between 2009 and 2013 was my favorite time, only because I was making enough money to actually survive off of music during that time. I was doing shows 3-4 times a week. I was charging features on a regular basis. I was making money off of iTunes, not streaming, to where people were buying my albums, and I got a large portion of that money, meaning like if you bought my album for $10, I might get $7 of it. To where now, if you're streaming my album, I'm getting pennies to the dollar like everybody else. It was a beautiful time. I couldn't have been more proud of myself because I had set out to make that a goal. And so that was probably my favorite time period in hip hop.
I just got two more questions, but I'll let you go. I appreciate your time. How did you get a track with Sean Price?
So, in my personal opinion, there's only two people that are old school artists that have successfully transformed themselves. MF Doom, because I was a KMD fan as a kid.
On the hills of my chinny chin chin, got many plus plenty. String by string, I think I count like 20. If you loan me an ear, I'm returning with interest. If not, I'll simply twist your wrist. So listen up closely.
Listening to like Peach Fuzz and then hearing Doom Become Doom was like, what? And then when I heard Sean Price, you know, go from Ruck to Sean Price, it was like, wow, like this is a whole different style. Like this is a whole different dude. And so I was working on my album, Days Chasing Days. I had a budget and I was like, bro, if there's anybody that I'm going to get, I got to get Sean Price. The funny story is that finally he was like, yo, I'm performing at Pay Dues Festival. And I'm like, okay, well, yo, can I come pick you up and we'll go record the joint? So for anybody that knows like the distance between Pay Dues Festival and Oceanside, it's like an hour and a half, an hour, 40 minutes or whatever. So I drove out there with my friend Raph Kai, who I've worked with forever, old friend of mine. And when we got to the hotel to pick P up, I was hella nervous because I had been arguing with P and the whole boot camp clique is out front of the hotel, bro. Like literally the whole boot camp clique, and these fools look like they're staring at me like, oh man, oh, this is that dude or whatever. So literally I'm going into it and I'm like, yo, finally P comes down the stairs and I was like, look, bro, I was like, man, I apologize, you know, if I came at you sideways, but I was like, bro, that was a lot of money to me and whatever. And he's like, nah, no need to apologize. Don't even trip. That's my bad. And whoop-de-whoop. I drove him all the way from Pay Dues back to Vista, which Pay Dues is a San Bernardino. We recorded at my house. Had a great time, dude. P is like one of the most funniest dudes ever. We just connected. We bonded. It was a beautiful thing. Afterwards, drove him back to San Bernardino, back to his hotel. And the original version of the song Disturbed that I did with P was over a DJ Shag beat. And afterwards, I played it for Exile, and Exile's like, bro, let me remix that. So I sent the vocals to Exile. The version that everybody knows to this day is the one that Exile remixed. The song is called Disturbed, featuring Sean Price, produced by my man Exile.
I don't care which TikTok, a famous rich hip hopper, phantom of the opera type, slick witch doctor, mad scientist, proper with the vocal I'm current. Almost 33, homie, yeah, hell of endurance. Young veteran, chop off the tongue and take the head of man. Young bucks know me, I act so much better blend. I like to set a trend, never try to follow fools. Knowledge, wisdom, overstanding, son, never hollow jewels. Swallow the bottle, full throttle, just like a menace, and mash around Cali from Diego to Venice. Let me replenish, I'm far from finished. Young apprentice, lab coat on the floor, drop science in a sentence. Broken beaker, got you open through the speaker. Cats approach the eye like we were hoping you were weaker. Nope, and call me teacher, fam, fuck what you heard. I'm a master of words, words, I'm mentally disturbed. Disturbed, I walk around like I'm wearing a crown. Talking to myself, cat steady staring me down. Clown, I heard you got lies that could write precise, but I murderize clots on the mic device. Cause I'm disturbed, I walk around wearing a crown. Talking to myself, cat steady staring me down. Clown, heard you got lies that could write precise, but I murder rock clots on the mic.
Yo,
device.
This black on black crime, pardon me my G. This black and white rhyme. Clap the black nine and smash your trash lines. Put you at the sleep, good night, it's nap time. Listen, the best rapper in the world is Sean. The worst rapper in the world is you. Skate clapper, heaven pearl is on. Bust bag at your girl and you. A few inch hips want to do. Listen, flow is phenomenal. Off the chain, but really, take off your chain. I ain't joking around, I'm toting the pound. Homie think I'm a clown like Homie the Clown. I will put down the pound and pound on you. Then pick up the pound, it's rounds on you. Cheers, yeah, get this thing ready for rock. How you want to get head of your gut, let me know.
From Meridian Arts and KPBS, this is episode 9 of Rap Diego, a San Diego story. Our next episode brings us into the 2010s. San Diego rises into the spotlight, attracting mainstream attention as our industry expertise continues to pay off.
From big artists on down to small, so it was like we introduced Mac 10 before people really knew who Mac 10 was. Rapping 4K, Diggable Planets, J. Rude the Damager, Wu-Tang, you know, Big Pun, just different people came through.
Rap Diego is a co-production of KPBS and Meridian Arts. Host and co-creator, Parker Edison. Episodes written by Jay Smith, Chris Reyes, Don Jegger, and Stephen Flex. Extra special thanks to guest writer, Melody Harold. Editing by Platform Collection. Music soundtrack by Monday Adams. Executive producer for KPBS is Lisa Jane Morissette, KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer, sound designer, Adrian Villalobos, and KPBS producer, Julio Ortiz Franco. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. Shout outs in no particular order to Certified Records, Malik Bo, Beta Bossolini, Low Profile Records, Vocab Company, Dave Moss, C-Heck, Twisted Insane, Young Mass, Pac-10, Black Mikey, and Kali.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.